On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Right, mate, if you're right.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. If you look out the left side of the plane, you'll see Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Ron Van Dam Show. Baby, yeah, that's the sweet spot right there. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. Pleasure to have you here. I can't really express at this time my feelings, so I'm going to stop talking. Like an airline flight, that's what this show is. You need to know all the rules and the safety hazards and how to put your seatbelt on. I think you clip it together. You need to know how to attach the flotation device should you have to the bathroom flood or something. So in order to enjoy this flight, we have Julie.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
No, no.
Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show.
I think they all will.
Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program.
Absolutely.
The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux.
Me.
Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker.
Yep.
And should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time.
Always.
The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants.
Never.
Unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day.
Almost.
But even then. Please refrain from loud conversation as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program.
It's true.
Your enjoyment of the program may vary.
Oh, yeah.
It may vary greatly.
Greatly.
Please enjoy the show.
If you can. All right, now that we know the rules and we understand each other, and we've dated a few times, and I've borrowed money from you, now we can start the show. All right, the damn thing's been on for a couple of minutes, and the guy's not said anything. What's the point of this? I don't know. At the time of this podcast, it's a few days away from Memorial Day. I hate to date these things because then I can't use them again, but I've just done that. It's close to Memorial Day 2015, and of course, we honor our veterans. Memorial Day is a time to remember, which is difficult for me because the older I get, the less I do remember. But you honor those that you thank for keeping you safe and warm and fuzzy and all that stuff. And it's a good day in that sense. I mean, it's something. It makes us do things, you know. So it's cool. It's what holidays do. It makes us do things. And as we honor those on these specific holidays, what we do realize is that as we honor them, We also don't have to go to work, and we can drink beer and do stuff and get shit-faced, and that's how we really honor people. I mean, Martin Luther King Jr., wonderful. Do we get the day off? Yeah, good. Let's do the holiday. Let's do it. Lincoln, I know who Lincoln is. He got shot in the balcony. I think like row, it was like in the first row. Horrible, horrible thing. And then John Wilkes Booth jumped to the stage and ran away and stuff. And what a horrible, horrible tragedy. What a wonderful president he was, I guess. Do we get the day off? Yeah. Okay, fine. Let's do it. Yeah, the Christmas, man. Jesus and all that, and the birth of Christ, and go to church, and kids. Do we get the day off? Yeah, you can get, like, the whole week off. Oh, let's do that one. Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. How about Flag Day? Do we get the day off? No. Can we combine Veterans Day and Memorial Day? They're pretty close to each other. Can we do that? Maybe not. Actually, they're not close together at all. Okay, fine. Yeah, those two can be. I mean, we did it with Lincoln and Washington. We call it President's Day. You can't have that much time off. I'm sorry. We need you at work. You can't have that much time off. Let's combine all the presidents. How about that? Okay. I mean, why don't we do that with holidays? You know, like, let's combine them all. You know, all the ones that begin with a W, that's a specific day. All the presidents, yeah, that's good. All the guys who are over 5'5", that'll be just one holiday. Just celebrated Mother's Day. We have a holiday for her. Well, it's usually her, but we don't get the day off. It's on a Sunday always. Oh, man, why on a Sunday we can't get the day off? Yeah, well, I mean, you can get the day off if you call in sick the next day on a Monday, then you can get a three-day weekend. That doesn't work. And then you got Father's Day. And the only reason you have Father's Day is because you have Mother's Day. They just start feeling bad about the fathers, because the forefathers. Because you got to have Mother's Day. Because if you piss off mothers or females in general, you're gonna have a bad, bad year. So you have to have a holiday for them. Now, as soon as you do that. The guys didn't complain. They didn't say, hey, you got a Mother's Day, but not a Father's Day. They didn't complain about that. I don't care. It was just America started feeling just guilty. Like, why are we just honoring mothers? It takes a father to actually, you know, infiltrate the egg system. So we got to have a day for that. All right. We'll make a Saturday. No, let's stick with the Sunday thing. That way no one gets the day off, and you got to go to church first, and let's keep it apples to apples, Sunday to Sunday. Okay, what about, can we do like Grandparents' Day? No, can't do that. That's really getting out of hand now. You got the father, you got the mother, you can't do the Grandparents' Day. Why not? Don't you feel guilty about the grandparents? Yeah, but the grandparents had a Mother's Day and had a Father's Day at one point in their lives. So this would be like repetition. This would be like taxing people twice, you know. You can't. You can't do it. No Grandfather's Day. All right. How about Stupid People Day?
Well, that's every day. Well, you don't need a special holiday for that.
All right. Okay. I think we've covered Little People, Dwarfs, and Midgets. That's usually on the last Friday in August, right?
No, there's no such holiday as that.
Okay, I've been celebrating it, though. We go nuts with our holidays. We do. We don't have enough of them. The Jewish people They know what they're doing. They have a holiday. Every time you turn around, they're having another holiday. You don't know what it is or what it represents unless you're really Jewish. There are many Jewish people, including myself, who don't know what the hell half their holidays are.
This is the day that they took the shoes and they put the soles on them. Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Oh, yes. This is the day when we gather the harvest and we put it in a bushel barrel and we sell them to people. This is a holiday for us. Oh, okay. Well, they got a holiday for everything. And because they know what they're doing. Because, they just know what they're doing.
Okay, today's show, which really... technically, if you've been listening to it since the beginning, hasn't really started yet. I'm going to kind of focus today on the automobile, America's love of the automobile. It's a utilitarian device which gets us from point A to point B, sometimes to point C and to point D, rarely to point E or point F. By point G, you're too tired. By the way, the only accent that I do is the Jewish accent because it's fun, because it's just fun. I can't do the other accents too well. Jewish accent, all you got to do is take whatever you're saying and throw your groin into it and make believe you're just about to take a gigantic shit, but it really won't come out no matter how much you finagle the bagel. So... instead of saying hello, my name is Ron. Make believe you got to take a big shit.
Hello, oi, hello, my name is Ron. Hey, that was a big one.
That's how I do that. All right. Automobiles, utilitarian, but then at a point. Very close to after the Model Ts, which were beautiful cars, people started falling in love with the model of the car, with the look of the car, with the feel of the car. A car became a woman. How is she running today? You know what I'm saying? It became a love and a passion. And there are some people, male and female, that basically fall in love with their cars. They actually call cars sexy. Have you ever heard that? Oh, that's a very sexy car that you have there. Sexy? My car is sexy? Oh, yeah, man. Look at that. Look at that. What you got under the hood, baby? Looks like your hood is... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's got 5 on the floor. Oh, now there's 6 on the floor. Oh, she's sleek, man. She's a beautiful car. Oh, that's my girl. That's my girl. Come on, honey. Don't fail me now. Oh, you look so good. You got that ruby red color just flowing down the sides of your car. Beautiful car, man. Oh, she's humming today. She's humming. I'm going to take her down and change her oil today, man. Change your oil. I'm going to get my dipstick and check my oil on my girl. You know what I'm saying? Oh, what a beautiful baby she is, too. She knows how to carry me. She gets me around the town. That's a sleek, sleek. Look at the curves on this car, man, on this beautiful baby. She's my girl. She's my girl, man. We've gone everywhere together. Gone east, west. North, never south for some reason. I don't know why. But, she knows how to do it to me. And then comes the day that you gotta sell the lady. The lady that you spent so much time with. Memories in the back seat. If you know what I'm talking about, if you know what I mean, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, those memories. But now she's old. She's reaching 200,000 miles, and she can't get around like she used to. She don't hum anymore. She sputters and putters and flutters and dutters. And time to bring her on down to the old scrap heap and pick up a new girl. Pick up a new girl. I'm so sorry to see you go. We spent so much of our lives together. You've been my girl, but it's time for me to get my stuff, unload my glove compartment where I keep my gloves. Actually, it's the one place I don't put my gloves is in the glove compartment. I don't know why they call it that. It's where I put my maps and I put my registrations. But it's time to say goodbye, honey. It's been fun. It's been quite a ride. It's been quite a sweet ride. Maybe someday our paths will cross again, but they won't because I'm going to junk you. Maybe some guy will be riding you around for another 100,000 miles. But for me, it's time to move on. Goodbye, girl. You've been wonderful. You've been great. Goodbye. A love affair with the car. I think I had my first kiss in a car. Well, a lot happened in that car. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no arguing that point. Let's talk about the car. Let's get into it now. One of the greatest things about the car, the car, is that the car is now just a gigantic running computer. A car is run on computers. You have to be tech savvy pretty much to have a car like that. And every year they come out with new technology about the cars. And they run nicely. They get you from place to place, but it's like they have apps, you know, like there's tons of things that you can put in your car, safety devices. The car can almost drive itself now when you stray into another lane or when a car is coming closer to you, the car can tell you. Ford has like a driver's assist parking thing where it actually park the car for you. I mean, seriously, I don't know how that works. But it exists. It's amazing. So let's do that. Let's check it out. Now I've spoken to some people about this. Suzanne Cantra is going to join us now. She's an expert. Everybody's an expert these days, and they're all here on the show. By the way, Suzanne. Suzanne Kentra joins us now. She's the editor-in-chief of Techlicious.com. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
What part of the country are you residing in as we speak?
So I'm standing outside the headquarters for the Consumer Electronics Association because I'm talking about electronics that you can put into your old car to make it feel like new again.
That's amazing. I can't believe it because... that freaks everybody out. Everybody wants to have technology in their car, but it's not there. And then here you come along and you say that you can have technology in your older car. So how is this possible if it's not built in?
So the manufacturers who build the system to go into today's new cars also make them available for you to purchase yourself and then have them installed by a professional installer. So the key thing when looking at things that you can put into your car, and these things range for them from backup cameras to lane departure warning systems to being able to put in new head-end units so that your smartphone gets integrated and you can get Google Maps, so lots of different options. So the key is to make sure that you talk to a mobile electronics certified professional and ensure that the stuff that you're planning on purchasing is a good fit for your make and model of vehicle.
So anything is possible, it's just have it done right.
Well, most things are possible.
Okay.
And yes, it's key is to have it done right. So things like applying automatic braking, for instance, is not going to be something you're going to have retrofitted on your older vehicle.
Okay.
But most of the other things are available.
Okay. What about as far as the comforts of the car are concerned, as far as navigation system, audio systems, internet radio, that kind of thing? Is that possible?
It certainly is. So what they do is they take their existing car radio head-in unit and remove that and put in a new system. So
really?
You can actually have head-in units that have technologies that aren't even available today in new cars. So you can get Apple CarPlay so that you, when you go to use your system, it's a touch screen, it's voice-activated, you can integrate with your car, you can get those phone calls coming in. You can also use Android Auto. So, again, having that familiar interface, you're not hunting and searching for things because it's something that's already familiar to you.
Okay. So, and I assume that most people, when we're talking about old cars, we're talking about 2009, 2008. I mean, isn't that pretty much, you know, the populace?
Well, even older, actually, because most of the cars that are on the road today are more than 11 years old. So that puts it before the first iPhone. And a lot of these systems that we take for granted today when we look at the new car commercials were not available. So things like backup cameras, something that really everybody should have in their vehicle, it would prevent a lot of unnecessary deaths, are things that you can get installed onto your car today.
Really?
You know, for about $700, you can get it installed. Not only will it help prevent accidents, but it also helps you if you wanted to back into a smaller parking space or a parallel park.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who are from New York City, those things are going to be available for much older vehicles.
What about the value of your car? Is this worth it to do? I know that in a house, if you update the bathrooms or the kitchen, that adds value to your house. If you put a closet in a bedroom, not so much, that kind of thing. Does this the same thing go for cars?
So when you have something installed into your vehicle, if it's a newer model car, it might add a little bit of value, but really these are things that you're going to do for yourself.
Okay.
To be able to extend the life of that vehicle so that you feel more comfortable, so that it can last a little bit longer. So, for instance, getting Bluetooth and hands-free system integrated into your vehicle, I saw that Best Buy is running a promo right now. So for $200, including installation, you can get a hands-free system built into that. So whether that translates into a higher market value for your car or not, if you're selling a much older vehicle, you're going to be able to find out when you put it on the market. But I don't think it's going to add a lot to the cost of the car.
How do I know that I'm getting a technician or going to the right place where it's going to be installed properly and efficiently as opposed to not?
So you want to make sure that there's some kind of certification process for whoever is doing the installation. So the Consumer Electronics Association put together a program for mobile electronics certified professionals. So you can go through this program, and at the end, they have the tools that they need to be able to install these types of systems. There are also installers for specific brands of components. So you're going to be able to, you know, get a Vox installer or a Pioneer installer. They have their own certification processes, but definitely make sure that they have been authorized by somebody who has trained them to install this into your vehicle.
So if you know someone who drives, a loved one, who doesn't drive all that well, that you might want to put that rear beeping system in, or rear camera, or maybe, is it available where, like, a car is passing you on the side, but it's in the blind spot? Does it, you know, that technology, that's all installable?
So one of the things that might be nice for somebody who is not as good a driver would be the lane departure warning system that's available from Vox. It will let you know if you're drifting across that line. It will also let you know with an audible warning the fact that somebody is stopping short in front of you. So, hey, pay attention with that. When that tone comes off, you know that something is going on that you really need to be paying attention.
Right. But, I mean, at the very least, for safety, I mean, that Bluetooth hands-free is like a lifesaver for many people, because that's a distraction with cell phones.
Absolutely. And there's really no excuse not to have this type of technology when it's not that expensive to install into your vehicle.
Right. And it's different from that little dashboard crap that's like $5. I mean, we're talking about a real nicely installed unit.
It's a beautifully installed unit. You have a tiny little button that has a cell phone logo on it. You press to start and stop your calls. And you also don't have to worry about things like having a secondary device charged. So, you know, it's just as though it were built into the vehicle from from day one.
Nice. All right, so where do I go to get the list, the menu of things that are possible for me?
So you can go to ce.org/connectmycar to find out all the available options. And then once you're ready to get something installed into your vehicle, you're going to have to go local and look online for a mobile electronic certified professional. So MECP is the acronym that you'll be looking for.
NECP.
Yep.
Excellent. And take a gander around techlicious.com, and they'll stimulate into all kinds of possibilities. Hey, Suzanne, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. Suzanne. Thank you, Suzanne. I love that. I spend a lot of time in my car because I'm a stalker. Only kidding. Nah, that's a joke. I spend a lot of time in my car. I enjoy my car. I get my alone time in my car. Unless someone's hitchhiking, then someone's in there. Do you ever hitchhike? Oh, don't ever do that. I can't. When I was a kid, people used to pick up hitchhikers and you would hear some horrible stories. Don't ever. You make sure your children know, never, ever pick up a stranger. Don't do anything with a stranger. Don't pick one up. Don't put one down. Don't talk to them. Don't take candy from them. Don't do their laundry. Don't shine their shoes. Oh my God, don't do that. Stay away from strangers, especially if they have hats on. A stranger with a hat on is asking for trouble, because people don't wear hats. People only wear baseball caps now. Everybody walking around thinks that they're a baseball player, and they're not. They're strangers with hats on. Stay away from strangers with hats on, ladies and gentlemen. Have you heard about the Takata? Takata? It sounds like a chain of Japanese hibachi restaurants, but they're not. It's a company in Japan that makes airbags, and they've fucked up big time. You've probably heard in the news that most every car manufacturer uses Takata airbags in their cars. And the problem with Takata airbags is that when they are deployed, when they blow up and there's shrapnel inside, I mean, it's like someone like did this on purpose, but for some reason it's killed dozens of people. Well, you know, not everybody, but some people it's killed, which is not good. It's supposed to save your life, not kill you. But there are loose little metal shards or shards of something inside the airbag, and with the impact of the exploding airbag, it explodes out of your steering column, out of your steering wheel. It has killed people. It's severed their faces and taken their eyes out. And I mean, it's like someone shooting you in the face. So they're dangerous. The Takata Airbag Company is recalling them. They are in almost every manufacturer of every car from certain years to certain years. The announcement as to what cars and what models are affected in what years is not complete yet. So you're driving around in a car probably that could eventually kill you. Now, here's the deal. Because these Takata airbags are placed in just about every car, not every car, but just about, chances are you're going to be just fine. You have no choice. You have to drive your car. Obviously, you have to utilize your car. If it hasn't happened so far, it may not happen. But these airbags, apparently, they haven't really come up with a resolve yet. You would have to get a recall from your manufacturer, or you check online to see if your car is affected. But that list isn't complete. So it could be years before the problem is solved. And in the meantime, your car could be dangerous. You know what? Walking down the street can be dangerous too. Eating chickens with bones is dangerous too. So you can't live like that. But this is a big deal. This is the largest recall ever in the automotive industry or the automotive industry. Takata is saying that if you drive your car in an environment that has a lot of humidity and moisture, that seems to be a higher incidence of the defective airbags. The humidity and moisture cause it to, I don't know, it makes it worse. So in other words, don't live in Seattle. That's really bad. Seattle's bad because it rains a lot of moisture. It's a death trap as far as your car is concerned. I really don't know. But read about it, Google it or whatever you, or Bing it or Yahoo it or whatever your stupid search engine is, and check out the Takata airbags. You've probably heard about it in the news. It's not my job to tell you about it, but we're talking about cars, so what the hell. Also, man, I used to live in Rochester, New York for about a year and a half, 2 years. It was a hellhole, man. It was a hellhole. It was a horrible, horrible place. People were great, beautiful area, had a good time, plenty of culture, plenty of good stuff going on, but it was snow, always snowing. It was always snowing and cold, and the winters were like 11 months long. It was like living in a frozen tundra. It was awful. It was awful. And things corrode in the cold weather. And I was concerned, as I was about so excited about the apps that are found in a car, you know, all the things a car can do. Cars can also fall apart because of the salt on the roads. I've told you, sodium is bad for everybody. It's bad for you. It's bad for your car. So I had to seek out an expert who could talk about corroding cars. You don't want a corroding car. But I actually found one. Bob Aboyan joins us. He's the auto industry consultant and fellow at the National Association of Corrosion Engineers. Joins us now. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be here on behalf of the National Association of Corrosion Engineers. It's an international corrosion society.
All right. Well, in New England, by the way, what part of the country are you in?
I'm in Rhode Island.
Oh, you're just down the street from us. Stop it. Should have just stopped in. Yeah. It's just come in. Hey, okay, so you're very familiar with the fact that there was somewhat of a harsh winter this past year in the New England area. And does weather cause corrosion? Is that one of the factors?
Well, you know, when we're talking about the Northeast and the Salt Belt region, the amount of salt that they use is very important. So if you have a very harsh winter like this past winter, they use a lot of salt. This year, there's twice as much salt as there was last year and in previous years.
Yeah.
And salt is very damaging in terms of corrosion.
Okay. When I've purchased automobiles in the past, they've talked about putting coats underneath my car to ward off corrosion on the underbody. Is that something that's a legitimate thing, or is that like just another sales tool?
Well, it used to be that it was an aftermarket product, mm-hmm. and the aftermarket products varied in quality. So the automotive companies now put their own corrosion-resistant coatings, for example, in the underbody and over the vehicle. And the quality is there. The automotive corrosion engineers have done a nice job in putting on really good corrosion-resistant coatings. So, yes, and it helps with, in terms of the warranty, they don't even want you to put on any aftermarket products.
Okay. All right. So we've turned the corner on that. Now, and of course, we're talking cars more than boats because I think that 9 out of 10 people can identify, well, 10 out of 10 can identify with automobiles, maybe like 1 out of 50 with a boat. Nonetheless, I see a lot of cars driving around where the area around the tire well has turned to rust and is kind of like shaven off and is that rust color. Is that corrosion that I'm looking at, or is that just the car falling apart?
No, that's corrosion. You get the red rust, and then eventually you get a perforation, and you get a hole through your, like, the quarter panel. And it's very important that if you get a scratch or if you get a damage in those areas, that you repair them as soon as possible so that they won't go into a serious corrosion through, in other words, the holes in the side.
But for the most part, I guess what you're alluding to before is that cars are manufactured differently than they were 10, 20 years ago as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, that's right. They've made a lot of changes and improvements in corrosion resistance, and the engineers at the NACE International have done a lot of work in helping the automotive companies improve the corrosion resistance. For example, by design, they've designed out crevices and using corrosion resistant materials and sealants and things like that. And they've done a really nice job. The automobiles are doing much better in terms of corrosion resistance. But it's but the consumer, the person that drives the vehicle, has some responsibility to maintain that vehicle.
Yeah. Is there anything that the car owner should do on a regular basis to look for corrosion, or is that something that is kind of in the past?
Well, you know, your eyes are the best tool that you have for finding and identifying corrosion. So you want to keep a good eye out on what's going on. The first sign you might see red rust coming from the automobile, you'd want to repair it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think primarily a good thing to do is to wash the vehicle regularly. And when you have the vehicle washed, make sure the undercarriage is washed.
Oh, do most car wash? I mean, you know, I guess we're in the same area. Do most car washes address that undercarriage, or is that extra?
Yeah, you have to pay a little extra, but it's worth it because, you know, that's where you get salts deposited. You get vegetation, leaves, and dirt. And with all that salt and everything, you've got to get that out of there because now we're coming into the months where it's hot and humid, and the corrosion rates increase tremendously.
All right, so that's something that a person can't really do themselves, because I know a lot of people in the summer, they wash their cars in their driveway, and that wouldn't address this problem necessarily at all.
No, because you can't get that nice pressure wash underneath. It's good for the rest of the vehicle, but you go to a car wash and they get that pressure wash on the undercarriage and drive out all of that vegetation and leaves and dirt and salt, especially the salt.
So the salt is the major contributor to vehicle corrosion, whether it be boat or car.
That's right.
Okay.
In terms of the exterior, now there are liquids such as the fuels and the oils and the coolant. And now, I mean, they've done a nice job putting inhibitor packages, corrosion inhibitors, in the coolant so that they last much longer today than they did years ago.
Okay. Salt is also corrosive to the human body, but I guess that's not what you're talking about today.
No, that's another subject altogether, although a lot of the reactions are similar.
Yeah, they are kind of, yeah. All right, where can we go to get more information about this and about your organization?
Well, you know that NACE International has a website. It's nace.org. It's NACE.org. And there you have some very good information in terms of developing tips for corrosion resistance and for education in terms of corrosion and the organization itself and membership. And it's quite a nice site in terms of being able to get information about corrosion and how to avoid it.
Bob, before we leave, as a homeowner, where would we find corrosion in the home? Or around the home?
Well, you know, you have outdoors and you have indoors. Outdoors, you know, patio furniture and fences and things like that. And then on the inside of the home, there are some serious, I mean, like, for example, a hot water tank, which can leak due to corrosion. Always corrosion inside out. And you get a leak, you flood your basement. Those are some examples of what happened in the home. And there are things you can do to avoid it.
So what is causing the corrosion? Is it just regular water that causes corrosion? The iron in the water or something?
Well, the more corrosive the water, the more corrosion you get.
Okay.
although with some metals like magnesium, you know, the corrosion rates are pretty high in just regular water. Right. But generally, well water can be corrosive, and then there are along marine environments, you get water in the seawater, which is corrosive, and then the salts by road de-icing salts.
Oh, yeah.
And those are pretty harsh environments for the metals that are used around the home.
Well, something that most people don't really think about in their daily lives, yet everybody pretty much drives a car and lives in a house, and it's interesting. Bob, thank you so much for the information this morning.
Hey, nice to be with you.
You too. You take care.
Yeah.
It was unbelievably painful.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
Well, it is indeed coming up on Memorial Day, which is the first major spring-summer holiday. And you know what that means? As we've said so many times when we talk about What Are You Wearing, which is a very popular segment on this show, in comparison to the other segments, which are not popular at all, it's almost time where it's acceptable to wear white pants. It is really never acceptable. Wearing white pants is just really stupid. Any chair in which you sit that is the slightest bit dusty or dirty, you're going to have a dirty white ass. Hey, you're a dirty white ass. That's what you know what you are? You're a dirty white ass. You're going to have dirty pants. You're not going to have a dirty white ass. You're going to have dirty pants because everything, if you go to a cookout or something, you're going to spill ketchup or you're going to spill some mustard on it somewhere. White pants are really, really stupid unless you're on a cocktail party boat. Other than that, white pants really are totally ridiculous. And I don't know why they're good on a boat. For some reason, sailors wear white. I don't know why. I have no idea why. But so for some reason, wearing white clothes and being on a boat somehow works. I don't know how that would roll. But you can start to wear white pants. If you're so inclined, just remember this. If you decide to wear white pants, someone's going to turn around, look at you at some point and say, look at that asshole. I swear it's going to happen. No matter how good you may think you look in white pants, you don't. The only person that can get away with wearing white pants is nobody. Maybe a bulimic model can do it. Maybe if you weigh like 23 pounds and you have a really tight ass, a female can wear white pants. Never wear white pants if you have a large butt, or as they call it, a large booty. Then you're just a walking movie screen. Don't even try wearing white pants if you're weigh any more than 23 pounds. White pants are just a bad idea. And that is your What Are You Wearing segment. It's more of a warning.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
Don't do it. Don't wear white pants. Not white pants.
What are you wearing?
Don't wear white pants.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
Don't wear white pants. Do not wear white pants. Don't ever, ever. If you have white pants in your clothing closet, get them out now. However, if it's after Memorial Day and before Labor Day, you can attempt it. But, man, you're brave. You got balls if you wear white pants. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Have yourselves a wonderful holiday. Drink responsibly. You know what I'm saying? And drive carefully. Be back on Monday, on Memorial Day itself, with another program. Until then, I wish you peace. Goodbye. Goodbye. Bye. Goodbye.